Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I am a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Arch Abbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And such a pleasure to speak again with Bishop Gregory Mansour, the Maronite Bishop of the Eparchy of St. Maron in Brooklyn.
Thank you, Father Boniface.
Satan, it's so good to be with you.
Thank you, for me too.
You are working with Catholic Relief Services now.
Yes.
And I'm not going to get the title position exactly right.
I'm chairman of the board. Board of about 25 half-lay, half-bishops who oversee the work of 7,000 Catholic Relief Services employees, $1 billion a year in services, 117 countries, and over 130 million people served. Now, that's a footprint of humanitarian care that the Catholic Church in the United States is privileged to accomplish, no matter Christian or non-Christian. In parts of the world that you'd never think we would be, from Yemen to Mauritania to, of course, Lebanon, El Salvador, Uganda, Nepal, assisting the local Catholic community, especially when they're a minority, like the Caritas Nepal, for instance, less than 1% of the population Christian. And the Catholic Church does the lion's share of humanitarian work after the earthquake.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about the kind of work that Catholic Relief Services does.
It's like the Red Cross for the Catholic Church. We're... But we do it for about half of the overhead. We're at 7%. And we also do it with a faith base, you know, in the name of Christ, without proselytizing. That's not without evangelizing. We evangelize, but not with a lot of words, but just the way we do our work. And the name Catholic is in everything we do. And we receive government funds, global funds, major donations from corporations, and then the person in the pew that makes a huge difference, whether it's Operation Rice Bowl or the second collection every year that all the Catholic churches in the U.S. do. And it's just our way of reaching out beyond our borders to serve the poorest of the poor.
So probably a lot of our listeners have given to Catholic Relief Services and maybe not even fully realizing it.
Yeah, Operation Rice Bowl, which I had as a little child.
Yes, me too.
Yes, and you put a quarter, a nickel in every day in Lent, and then you collect it and give it to the priest at the end. And then the second collection, which is taken every year for Catholic Relief Services. And the whole idea is for us to get out of ourselves. It's what Pope Francis has been telling us.
Yes.
To get beyond ourselves, beyond our comfort zone. And the Catholic Church has done an amazing work. And it's not well known. And I say oftentimes these days in our very wounded church and a very partisan world, there's the Catholic Church doing this amazing humanitarian work that nobody knows about, but the people that are the beneficiaries of it know very well.
So our faithful have probably contributed some money. They could contribute some more.
Yes.
Give them a sense of what they're doing with their contributions.
It makes a huge difference. For instance, I was in Lebanon, and we visited a migrant center that serves migrant workers from the Middle East who don't have a place to go because they've either been abused or been taken advantage of by the people that brought them to the country in the first place. And this is just Lebanon. We help farmers in Uganda to grow vanilla because they can make a little cash in that and send their children to school. And we help cocoa farmers in El Salvador who otherwise would have to work at the coffee plantation or the sugar plantation for someone else. Instead, they work for themselves on their own land, and their children pick the cocoa beans, the mother grinds it, and the father sells it at market because of Catholic Relief Services.
So it's really developmental work, not just emergency aid.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And helping marriages by strengthening marriages in this way. We also have a program called Faithful House, which teaches the man fidelity and the woman as well, just to keep their family together. So lots of very well thought out. And this year, we are going to take our quote-unquote safeguarding efforts. The safeguarding efforts, you know, that's what the bishops are talking about now. We in the U.S. have done a huge job, even though if you read the press, it seems like we've done nothing. But we've done a huge job. We have some way to go, but we at Catholic Relief Services are going to help the rest of the Catholic agencies throughout the world to put in place those kind of safeguarding of children policies.
Mm. The kinds of things that we're trying to implement in the United States.
We have not more than trying, as you say.
Yes.
Since 2002, we've been doing an excellent work, but several gaps, and we're trying to close those gaps in this bishop's conference.
But Catholic Relief Services is sharing that with other countries.
Yes.
That in some cases probably haven't even thought about these
things.
Let alone really put effort into implementing them.
We've offered at the next synod, with not really a synod, but the gathering of the heads of Episcopal conferences in February with the Holy Father on this issue. We've asked for a share on the table, not to dominate, but to serve.
Mm.
To serve all the bishops' conferences throughout the world where we're at, because we're doing the best that we can. We're probably doing best practices in all international NGOs.
What role does the board serve in Catholic Relief Services?
Overseeing everything. Also receiving our criticism, which I don't mind at all, because I love our critics. They help me to... The just criticism helps us to do a little bit better. The unjust criticism, which all of us are used to, I'm very used to it now as a bishop, helps us to be a little bit more patient, a little bit more humble.
Can you give us an example to that and maybe speak to a criticism that even our listeners might have heard and
yes,
not had addressed?
Yes, some people have legitimate concerns about Catholic Relief Services partnering, quote-unquote, or working together with USAID, especially in some USAID programs that will include, they're not focusing completely on, but will include, quote-unquote, family planning.
Hmm.
We do natural family planning, according to the church teaching, but we would refuse to do anything else. But sometimes some of our on-ground people in different parts of Africa or other places might have partnered or dealt with some things that border on family planning with the U.S. agencies or some of the other agencies that we, quote-unquote, partner with. I understand. Anytime I get a complaint, I say, please don't send it to the press. Please send it to me.
Mm.
Let me research it myself. And so I do the research on the ground with CRS staff. And where we're wrong, I admit it.
Mm.
Where the critic is wrong, I try to gently also encourage him or her to see it. But I don't mind it at all. I don't want the staff to be having to deal with all those things. I try to do it as a member of the chair of the board.
Because all those situations are complicated.
They are complicated, and we've got to get it right. But I tell the critics, I said, please, if you got something, send it to me. I'll get an 11-page letter, a 5-page letter, a telephone call, and I call and I research it. But I want CRS to continue to be best practices for all the different, there's 165 different Caritas organizations throughout the world. And we're like the big brother, not the dominant, but we are working strategically and on purpose to strengthen the capacity of those different Caritas. We don't want to do the work ourselves. We want to nurture those who are doing the work and give them best practices. And American ingenuity and American dealing with this particular issue, especially safeguarding, can really be a nice gift to the rest of the world, the rest of the humanitarian agencies.
And you collaborate with those other agencies, which, as you pointed out on the one side, could have some difficulties if their views are different than ours, but it's an opportunity on the other side for us to influence them with our views.
Yes,
that's
it
also
is.
Part of
it
the evangelization.
Is. And that's a piece that some of the critics don't often get. They say, why do you do it with, for instance, this international body that, you know, that lobby the Congress for this or that, which we're diametrically opposed to? But we belong to it because there's other things that help us to have a seat at the table and to influence the international NGOs on this area. We don't always succeed, but at least we're in the marketplace. We're, as Pope Francis says, we're getting our shoes dirty. And other parts of us. So, but it's a beautiful work. It's the Catholic Church does, even though we are wounded, and we have to say that over and over again, we are wounded like the body of Christ was. We're still doing this amazing charitable work.
And I love your approach to handling critics, to welcoming the accountability and transparency and fostering the integrity of these organizations.
Yeah, I feel like on one hand I want to protect CRS, the other hand I want to encourage them to do better. If we're 7,000 employees, not all of them are going to do exactly what we tell them to do.
But so it takes a lot of love and sacrifice to do that.
Yeah, it's worth it.
You're so good. And what a great example. It takes a lot of courage, too. It's not easy to face attackers or accusers or to take time with people to show them love.
Yeah, it's worth it.
I'm sure you've made some interesting friends.
I have. Hope I will continue to do that.
Well, Bishop Gregory, thank you for giving us a little positive note about some beautiful things that are going on that, as I said, our listeners may even be contributing to, but your witness helps them to feel like they're also doing something, not just showing up at church and suffering under the weight of all of the negative press or something like that, but there really is a positive outreach that's taking place around the world.
Father, when I was in Lebanon, just a quick final story, there were all these Syrian refugee women, all angry, all complaining at the local Caritas agency that was serving them with love. And in my poor Arabic, I spoke up and I said, please, ladies, we're doing the best we can. We're not the United Nations. We're not a government. We're not even part of the problem. We came here because a little child put a nickel or a dime or a quarter in a little rice bowl, and someone put a dollar in the collection for Catholic Relief Services. We're serving you out of our great love for you. We don't have international monies. We're doing this out of... They stopped. One of them wept. They said, we thought you were part of the United Nations. I said, no, we're working on donations that people give us, and we're trying to serve you the best way we can. We know your needs are great, but please be patient with us.
Beautiful.
It helped them to understand. And I think the person in the pew, when they know that this beautiful work takes place in their name for the poor,
yes,
maybe they'll... be encouraged to continue.
Beautiful. Bishop Gregory, could you lead us in a little prayer as we wrap up?
Yes. Oh, Heavenly Father, today on the feast of Mother Cabrini, who gave herself to the service of the poor, may this rich but wounded church still continue as she did. She was so rich, and she became poor to enrich others. May this church, so rich, become poor in the service of others and enrich them. And through the intercession of Mother Cabrina, Our Lady, Saint Joseph, and all the saints, may Almighty God bless us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Gregory Mansour, thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thank you, Father Boniface, and your listeners.